Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We are in chapter 45. This is God's word. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, Lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have, I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him. When the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan, and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you can enjoy the fat of the land. You are also directed to tell them, do this, take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives, and get your father and come. Never mind about all your belongings, because the best of all Egypt will be yours." So the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them carts, as Pharaoh had commanded, and he also gave them provisions for their journey. To each of them he gave new clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. And this is what he sent to his father: 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent his brothers away. And as they were leaving, he said to them, "Don't quarrel on the way." So they went up out of Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. They told him, "Joseph is still alive. In fact, He is ruler of all Egypt. Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry him back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, "I'm convinced. My son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, that's quite a change of events. What a wild thing. I mean, one minute, these guys are afraid that they're going to be killed by the ruler of Egypt, and now they find out this is our brother whom we sold into slavery. And he's not going to kill us. I mean, it was a scary circumstance because now knowing who he is didn't just make their fears melt away. It was like, "Oh, Joe, hey, we missed you." They're going to wonder as they're headed back, what do we tell Dad about how Joseph got down there? Okay? I mean, we're supposed to go back and say he's alive and he's ruler of Egypt, but sooner or later, the story's likely to come out as to how he ended up down there, and Dad's going to know that we lied to him. We deceived him all these years as he grieved. We tried to cover our guilt. But beats dying in Egypt, beats dying in Canaan. So they are relieved. But there's this amazing thing. Joseph doesn't just reveal himself to his brothers. He reveals God to his brothers. You see, Joseph didn't like being in Egypt. He didn't like being a slave. He didn't like being a prisoner. But he had learned to see God's hand in all that had happened. And that absolutely changed not only his view of God, but it changed his view of his brothers. Instead of feeling that for the rest of my days, I'm going to make their lives miserable, he says, "Don't even be angry with yourselves. Because God's the one who rules over all. I may be Lord of all Egypt, but God is King of the universe. And we need to recognize his hand in what has taken place." Think about if you were Joseph. You can do anything you want with these fellows. I mean, you could simply keep them as slaves, which is what they initially feared he was going to do. You could do what you want. But why didn't Joseph go ahead and give in to Potiphar's wife and have sexual relations with her? Because Joseph knew that he answered to God. And that if he did that, it would be a wicked thing and a grievous sin against God. Likewise, in dealing with his brothers, even though he's put them through some mind games and injected some unhappiness and discomfort into their lives, he can't even keep it up anymore. That's what it says. "Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, 'Have everyone leave my presence.'" Why? Because his brother had just told him, "Look, keep me here, not Benjamin. I'm willing to be the substitute." He was the one who had your cup in his sack, but Don't let anything happen to him. It would break our Father's heart. It would break our Father's heart for something to happen to Benjamin. Let me take the punishment. Let me take his place. And we said last time how amazing it is, understanding how difficult it was for Jacob to let his beloved son Benjamin be put at risk by making the journey to Egypt. How amazing, but he did it in order to get food for himself. Okay? How amazing is it that God did not spare his beloved son, but delivered him up for us all so that we might be forgiven? That's astounding. Well, now we see again this echo as Judah says, I'm willing to take the place of the party who is found guilty. Okay? Benjamin had the cup, but let me take the place because we don't want to break the father's heart. Well, Joseph at that couldn't control himself any longer. And so he banishes all of his attendants from the room so that he can go ahead and drop the facade, the ruse, and let his brothers know who he is. And when he does, when he reveals himself, they're terrified. They're terrified. But Joseph immediately begins to tell them, don't be afraid. He could have said to them, I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold into slavery, and I'm going to let you mull that over. You're going to spend a few days locked up to think about what you've done. He knew they'd been thinking about it for a long time. Remember in the earlier chapters when they didn't know that he spoke their language because he was using an interpreter. He'd speak in Egyptian. It would be interpreted for them in their language. And so they spoke to each other and said, this is happening to us. God has exposed our guilt. All this is happening because of what we did to our brother Joseph. You remember how he begged us for mercy when we threw him down in that pit, and instead we sold him into slavery. Now, all that's come back on us. Joseph knew that they'd been thinking about it. He knew they felt guilty about it. But instead of riding that further, he says, look, don't be angry at yourselves. God was at work in this. It's amazing the phrases he uses. I was interviewing a Christian athlete one time, and he brought up this passage. He said, you know, I've been studying in Genesis. And he says, it almost sounds like the brothers selling Joseph into slavery was something that God was in control of. I said, it doesn't almost sound that way. That's explicitly stated by Joseph. Look at these phrases. This is what Joseph said. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. That's verse 5. Verse 7. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8, so then it was not you who sent me here, but God. Oh, wait a minute. Are you saying God made them do that? No, I'm saying God is sovereign and he rules over all and he works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. Well, I don't think these guys love God. Well, the mercy of God is such that he went beyond those who loved him at the time. I don't understand how that works. I mean, what about, I thought, you know, we're responsible for our own sins.
Yes, we are.
Well, I mean, we make our choices, right?
Yeah.
I mean, God doesn't make people sin, does he?
No.
God doesn't even tempt people. But the worst thing people managed to do was to crucify Jesus. But it didn't come as a surprise to God. It wasn't something God knew might happen. It was what God had provided from before the foundation of the world. So like God looks down in the future and sees what we will do, and then he builds his plan around that. It's more sovereign than that. Well, I'm sorry, but I can't reconcile God's sovereignty to that extent with man's responsibility. Well, read the book of Romans, and what you'll find is that Paul raises that very question and says, who are you, O man, to question God? Shall the thing that is formed say to the one who formed it, why have you made me thus? What if God deliberately made some vessels for destruction? Are you saying that's you're a double decree Calvinist? I love the fact that Paul didn't say, let me tell you what happened. God made some vessels for destruction. He didn't say that. The Word of God does not say that. What it says is, what if he did? I know that when you, a mortal being, tries to understand the mysteries of the infinite God, that it might look as if that's the only explanation. Paul says, what are you going to do about it? You going to get a transfer to an alternate universe? God rules over all. So you're saying that God actually orchestrated all of this as part of his plan. No, I'm not saying that. God's saying that through Joseph, who was the guy who got the short end of the stick for years. Last night we had the mentors at our house, and it was a delightful time. Wonderful privilege to get to spend time with those fine young people. One of the things we talked about was the fact that God's will for your life may be to put you in situations that you would not choose. We tend to think when circumstances are not to our liking, if we're Christians, we tend to think when circumstances are not to our liking that we must have gotten off the path somewhere. Okay? That, you know, well, I must have missed something. God, how did this happen? I'm sorry. Listen, I'm not sure what I did wrong in order to end up here, but whatever it is, I am really sorry. Would you please take me back to the green pastures so I can lie down? Because that's I like that part, okay? But he also causes us to walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, Jesus actually said that you are blessed when you're persecuted. What? He said that. Read the Sermon on the Mount. Some of you are memorizing it. You're blessed when you're persecuted for his name's sake. Now, if you're being persecuted because you've acted like a jerk, that's not a blessing, that's a consequence, okay? But if you do the right thing and as a result, like Joseph, see, he said no to Potiphar's wife, and as a result, he was falsely accused of rape and put in prison. That's not fair! No, it's not. It's not. I shouldn't be here. Yes, you should. I thought we said it's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. So I shouldn't be here. Yes, you should. Yes, you should. Why should I be here? Because this is where God wants you right now. Didn't feel that way to Joseph. God was with him. God blessed him in the dungeon. But he wasn't having fun. After he's been there a long time and those two servants of Pharaoh end up in there, he's taken care of them. And one day he can see that they're particularly discouraged. And he says, what's the trouble, guys? Oh, we both had weird dreams last night. When he tells them the interpretation, he says to the cupbearer, I haven't done anything to deserve this. You got to get me out of here. When you go back and you're carrying the cup to Pharaoh, please get me out of here. And it's two more years. Two more years. And let me tell you, time goes by more quickly when you're having fun, right? Joseph was not having a lot of fun in the dungeon. But he was right where God wanted him to be. So God is sovereignly working out his purpose. And Joseph has come to know that. And the consequence is that Joseph was able to forgive his brothers. Not to trust them. Not to find them all appealing. He treats his baby brother Benjamin more nicely than he treats them, but he treats them well. He gives each of them a new set of clothes, as well as all these other things, and says, listen, guys, I've got a place for you. He says, you're going to live in the best place. You're going to be close to me. It's going to be great. And he gives them carts. I mean, Pharaoh wants to bless them because of Joseph. They get blessed because of their brother's good conduct. Did you know, by the way, that if you are a Christian, you are blessed because of Jesus getting it right? Because of what he has done, we are declared righteous. We are blessed in the heavenly realms with everything. We are made joint heirs with him. Not on the basis of what we've done, but on the basis of grace. So there's a lot to learn. But if I were to narrow it down to just a couple of points, they would be what I said at the start. Joseph didn't just reveal himself to his brothers. He revealed God to his brothers. He revealed God as the sovereign ruler who took even their wickedness and turned it for good. Just as surely as God took the wickedness of Jesus being crucified and turned it for the good, for our salvation. This is a foreshadowing of what is ours in Christ. Joseph was not a perfect man. Jesus is. And Jesus didn't risk his life. He gave his life for us. Hallelujah. What a Savior.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.